It's Becca and our little praisers. You guys always do such a great job. And the unsung heroes, the teachers who work really hard throughout the week and handle more than we could possibly imagine or maybe want to wrap our minds around. So big thank you to you all, too, for what you do. Thank you. This morning, as we continue by taking a look at God's Word, I encourage you to keep your worship bulletins handy. We'll be going back to a couple specific places. In the back of your worship bulletin this morning, you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes if you like. If you're in need of something to write with this morning, go ahead and raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be glad to get something to you. There are some also take-home reflections there as well that I hope and pray will be a blessing to you and to me throughout the week as we continue to pray on this word that God will share with us this morning. So, some time ago, I heard this story circulating around my home state of Nebraska, and the story goes like this. It's supposed to go like this. Let's see here. Can we move the little receiver to the front end of the box there? There we go. All right. So the story goes something like this. There was a man driving down one of these kind of rural gravel roads of rural Nebraska, and he looked off to his right, and he saw a really curious situation unfolding before him. Out in this big pasture, and if you've ever seen one like it, this big open space, there was this rancher that was running for everything he was worth. You know why he was running so hard? Because something was chasing him. Next slide. A raging bull. Now, you can about imagine, if you're being chased by a raging bull, you're probably running pretty quickly. You're probably running for all you're worth. And as the man in the car is watching this unfold, he's coming to find that just when the bull about gets this guy in the backside with the horns, this man all of a sudden disappears down into a little depression in the ground. And then the bull starts to wander away, and all of a sudden, moments later, the guy bounces back up out of the hole and starts running off in another direction. Why? Because he's getting chased by the bull. But then just as the man is about to get stuck by the bull, he drops down into one of these low areas again. But almost instantaneously, the moment he jumps into the hole, he bounces back up again. And so the guy out by the field, out by the road, he's watching this unfold, and he thinks this is ridiculous. So he yells out to the rancher who's getting chased by the bull, "Stay down in the hole." To which the man replied, "I can't." Next slide. "I can't because every time I go down, there's a badger in one of the holes." Next slide, please. Sometimes in life, it feels like this, doesn't it? You're just moving from one challenge to the next. Run away from a bull in one area just to encounter a mean, vicious badger in the other. I wonder if you've had a week like that. You got a week like that? You don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder if your week's been like that. You find yourself trying to escape from one nasty or maybe tough or difficult situation, and just when you think you've gotten away from it, you find another one that's waiting for you, mouth wide open. I wonder if some of us here today have had that kind of week, or maybe just maybe for you, you're in that kind of season of life where you're moving from one challenge to the next. Next slide, please. My question to you this morning is this. When you find yourself in that kind of situation, moving from challenge to challenge, almost like a human ping pong ball, how do you typically respond? What's your MO? What's your mode of operation? How do you handle stressors or just really difficult, challenging situations in life? How would the people that know you best answer that question for you? Next slide. Another question I'd like for us to wrestle with this morning is just this. Because these situations in life happen, and if you haven't had one of these situations happen for you in life, we need to talk. I'd like to know your secret, how you've been able to stay away from some of these things. But if this has been your season of life, and I'd like to wrestle with this question with you this morning. How does God respond to your season of life and mine when we find ourselves running from one difficult and challenging situation over here only to face one over here? Next slide, please. In our first reading for this morning from the Old Testament book of Ruth, verses 1 to 19, we see that this has become the situation for a woman by the name of Naomi. And if you track along with Naomi's story, you see it's just like this. Going from one difficult situation and then encountering another one over here, and then just when it looks like life is starting to maybe level out a little bit, then there's another situation. Next slide, please. So here's what we see in these verses that we read this morning. First thing is this, that Naomi and her husband and her two sons, they're struck by a really, really difficult season of life known as a famine. And I know that might be hard for us to process through because when I get hungry, I go to my cupboard. Maybe when you go hungry, you go to Kroger's or you go to their hot bar throughout the week. Get some really great food there, by the way. And that's how we feed the need. But when you're dealing with a hunger situation and a food scarcity that covers your whole country, much, much different situation. Old Mother Hubbard went to her cupboard, and there ain't nothing in that cupboard. So they go to a far-off country. And I don't know if you had to do that in life, but if you have, then you know all that comes with having to pull up your whole life by all of its roots and maybe move somewhere else with all the uncertainties and all the fear factors and the things that come with that. But for Naomi and her family, know this. It's not just a hop, skip, and a road down the road. It's not like if you're an Ohio State fan and you have to suddenly move to Michigan or vice versa. It's actually a lot less worse. And if that's you, we can talk later. But what you need to understand is that for Naomi and her family to leave their house and to go to this country of Moab, it's like going into a war-torn country where your face is on the poster, the most wanted poster, or if seen, remove this person. For them to go to this country of Moab, this was really, really difficult. Have you ever gone into a situation where it feels like everybody just hates your guts? Like they're just waiting for you to move along, to go somewhere else. If that's been your story, then you and Naomi and her family probably have a lot in common. But sometimes you have to do what you have to do, right? So on the heels of that difficult situation, trying to escape this bull known as famine, they come to find there's some other things that are kind of nipping and chewing at the heels of life. And we see this in verse 3. Naomi's husband passes away. And I know some of us here have suffered the loss of a spouse. And that's really hard. Or you know someone that's suffered the loss of a family member. That's really hard. And on top of that, just after the heartache is starting to kind of grow and to kind of crunch and press, we discover this in verses 4 to 5. Who else does Naomi lose? She loses her boys. As a father to an 8-month-old, I can't imagine. To lose a husband, that's hard. But then to lose a son, that's really hard. But then to lose your second son as well, sometimes it's hard to find the words, right? Next slide, please. See, as I was reading this week and praying about it, I was starting to feel myself kind of put in Naomi's shoes or her high heels or whatever she's wearing. And I'm starting to wrestle with these questions and these emotions. Questions like this. What kind of life will there be for me now? You ever felt that way? Maybe if your week has been like one of the weeks we just looked at a little bit ago where you feel like you're getting chased by the bull only to encounter a badger, maybe you've started to ask yourself that question. And you don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder if you've been asking yourself that question this week or maybe in this season of life. What kind of life will there be for me now? Things aren't going well for you at work. What kind of life will there be for me now? These bills keep coming in, but I don't see the money coming in to match the bill. What kind of life will there be for me now? School isn't shaping up to what you thought it would be this year. What kind of life will there be for me now? I had these friends in my life. They were here this one season, and then something happened, and all of a sudden they're gone. They're MIA. What kind of life will there be for me now? someone who was in your life this time last year maybe isn't there this year. What kind of life will there be for me now? So I think maybe, just maybe, sometimes you and I, as God's people, we enter these seasons of life and we get rolled, we get chased, we get bit, and we land in this place of asking this question, what kind of life will there be for me now? But here's what I want you to know, friends. And if you need to write this down, or you need to write it on your spouse's or your neighbor's arm, ask for permission first. Do this. Because even in places like Moab, God's able to bring hope and a word of encouragement. And this is what he does for Naomi. Somehow, and in his own way, God is able to bring this word to Naomi that says, back where there wasn't anything, there is now. Where there is scarcity of food, scarcity of hope, and scarcity of life, God is able to come into that kind of situation and bring life. And life starts to go from black and white to high definition color, and it looks great. So this is what God's able to do for this woman by the name of Naomi. God is able to bring a word of hope even into that messy situation. And God does that for you too. My question to you this morning is just this. Where has Moab been for you as of late? And don't say Moab, Utah. I'm aware of where Moab, Utah is. It's a great hiking place. But where is that place for you where it had started to feel like there's no hope? Where things aren't going to change? Where is it for you where relationships have been strained? Where it seems like the ending that you've hoped and prayed for has just been robbed from your life? Where is Moab for you? Where is Moab for you where life seems a little tense? Where it seems like faithful and true friends and family are really hard to come by? Where is Moab for you where you feel like you're being chased by one thing only to encounter something else over here? Where is Moab for you? Wherever that is for you, I'd like, and if you haven't heard anything yet, please hear this. Even in Moab, God is able to bring you hope. Even in your Moab, God is able to bring you hope. In your Moab, God is able to bring you hope. In Moab, God is able to bring you hope. And this is what we see God do for Naomi. And God does a little bit more. Check this out. In the same chapter, Naomi is about to leave, and we heard this in our reading. Naomi is about to leave this place called Moab, and she's about to go home. And I can only imagine what that would feel like to go back to where you were and to wonder what kind of hearsay you'd walk into, what kind of small town feel you'd be coming back into, but also if you can make the trip, you know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about the two-day trip you take in the car where things are just going chaotic, where there's never enough snacks, there's never enough DVDs in the car, where you start to wonder about your own sanity. I'm talking about the kind of road trip where you start to wonder, am I going to make it there or not? In those moments too, this is what God is able to do out of his love for you and for me. Check this out, verses 16 and 17. Ruth, one of Naomi's daughters-in-law, says this to her. And maybe you've heard some of these verses shared at weddings. I've heard them too. It's one of these verses that are requested. But I'd like to give you the context. And I'd like to challenge you to look at the strength and the depth of a relationship here. All right, check this out. But Ruth replied to Naomi, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." So in other words, Ruth has been in this place where she knows all kinds of the wrong stuff, all the wrong idols, all the wrong worship, all the wrong community stuff. And in this moment, she's willing to say, "I'm willing to cash all that in to go where I need to be, and that's with you. Because where you're going, that's where God is. And where God is, that's where hope is. So I gotta go. There's no other option." And then she says this, "Where you die, I will die. and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you from me. And here's what we see God do. God provides, even in Moab, this messy, confusing, heartache of a place. God brings an agent of grace to Naomi, and he does it through this woman known as Ruth. God does this for you and for me. But God also calls you and me to be that person for somebody else. As you think about the things going on in your life, the people that you encounter at work or at school or maybe in your own house, their seasons of life, their Moab moments, where is God calling you to enter into somebody else's Moab situation and season of life to be to them what Ruth was to Naomi, an agent of grace? Where has God given you that opportunity and that open door? See, the reality is God has given you and me the agent of grace himself. And praise God, we heard it from the mouths of the kiddos this morning. That agent of grace for you and for me, his name is Jesus. And Jesus isn't looking for some kind of religious scorecard from you in order to keep the relationship intact. This Jesus, your agent of grace and mine, stays with us regardless of where we are. This Jesus goes with you into your Moab moments and also mine. This Jesus goes with you when you're getting chased by a bull only to encounter a badger over here. This Jesus, this agent of grace, is with you today. And because of that, because of who's with you, you have hope. So wherever you've been this week, whatever your season of life has been, no matter how much it looks like Moab or how much it looks like something else, know this. Because God has given you the agent of grace himself, Jesus Christ, there's another chapter to your life, and praise God, it is filled with hope. Let's pray.